Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Justin Freer, who will be conducting DreamWorks Animation in Concert with the NSO at Wolf Trap. Justin, thanks so much for taking the time.
No, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Where are we talking to you? You're out in L.A.?
Yes, I'm in the studio here in L.A., and beautiful day out here today.
Well, thanks for getting up early. I know that it's a three-hour time difference. What, you're like 9 o'clock out there, so thanks for
waiting. Oh, that's late in the music business. It's late already.
You've been chugging coffee and composing stuff all day already, right?
That's usually the plan, day in and day out. You know, you wake up and look forward to what you get to do, and you get to end the day looking back, hopefully, on some things that you've done that, you know, in some small way contribute.
That's awesome. Well, let's dive into the concert here. The NSO, we've done several pieces on concerts they're doing at Wolf Trap in the past. You know, NSO, I think they did like a concert, I guess last summer it was with Back to the Future and Alan Silvestri was there. And this summer I think they're doing Raiders of the Lost Ark. And so they do this a lot, but I don't think that, at least I don't remember them ever doing DreamWorks before. Tell me what all we got in store here. It's Shrek, Madagascar, Kung Fu Panda, How to Train Your Dragon, all that. What was sort of the idea behind the formation of this?
Well, you know, look, DreamWorks Animation has produced some of the most memorable animation in recent years and recent decades. I mean, you know, it's over 20 years now they've been in business, and you know, they launched with that incredible, beautifully painted and pictured film, the Prince of Egypt, and what a wonderful score by Hans Zimmer. And you know, fast forward now over 20 years, and so many other composers have contributed since. You know, from John Powell on How to Train Your Dragon, the Henry Jackman, you know, who's done Puss in Boots and Turbo and a few other things, and you know, Danny Elfman and Alexander Splaw and Harry Gregson-Williams, Rupert Gregson-Williams. I mean, so many composers have contributed over the years. And the idea here is to celebrate these composers and celebrate this great animation. And so it's a wonderfully unique franchise celebration that touches upon all the fan-favorite moments, you know, from Shrek and Kung Fu Panda and Madagascar, How to Train Your Dragon. There's things from pretty much, you know, you'll have representation of just about every film that they've done over the years, and all set to this great music written by these composers.
Definitely. Is this the first time you guys have brought this show to Wolf Trap, or how long, more broadly, how long has the show been going?
There was a version of the show done about 2 years ago at the Hollywood Bowl, which we have since kind of adjusted and added some things and changed some things. And so this version of the show is very new. It's the first time that anyone will have a chance to hear it in this setting. So you could call it a premiere of sorts. And, you know, so there's a lot of different things that we're doing with this now that we're taking it out. You know, the only performance that it had really, you know, committed itself to was at the Hollywood Bowl. So now 2 years later, we're bringing this out to celebrate with the world.
Gotcha. Let's go through a couple of the numbers, you know, movie by movie, if you don't mind, because you'll be showing clips and everything. And you'll be the one conducting it. So what sort of selections have you chosen for? Is there Prince of Egypt in here?
There is some Prince of Egypt animation material. As far as the music, we've selected a few different things to play over. You know, selections from Prince of Egypt. It's kind of it's a mix of things. This show, there's the occasional scene. You know, the actual proper scene from one of these films that you know, is represented by connecting it to the very music that was intended for it. You know, mm-hmm. So we have a couple of scenes from Kung Fu Panda, for example, a couple of scenes from How to Train Your Dragon, you know, one from Mr. Peabody and Sherman. You know, so with those examples, you know, the originally intended music that is married to that scene will be performed in real time by the orchestra synchronized to picture. In the case of a few other things, you know, we're tracing certain themes or elements, or if you'd like to call it the DNA of DreamWorks Animation, over the course of 20 years. So if you'd like to take the idea of flying or flight, and we collect all this wonderful footage from over 20 years that deals with this wonderful notion of flying as it relates to DreamWorks Animation, and create a montage and set that montage to a piece of music. In that case, you know, it's set to The Sandman Returns from Rise of the Guardians by Alexander Splaw. And so we have this delicate balance of both scene and montage throughout the show.
I see. Okay. So it's sort of thematically grouped more than it is, you know, movie by movie. It's like flying, the flying section and things like that.
Well, certainly grouped by movie as well. You know, I mean, we've got some scenes from Puss in Boots, you know, again, scenes from Rise of the Guardians, scenes from Kung Fu Panda that are actually the proper scenes, you know, scenes from Mr. Peabody Sherman. So there's a great deal of film grouping, and there's also some montage grouping celebrating, you know, these popular themes that you see in all of their movies.
Take us into what we're going to experience. So we got our tickets. We're sitting there at Wolf Trap waiting for you guys to start. Take me into that overture we're going to hear. What do you got going on for the overture?
Well, we start this wonderful evening. You know, imagine, of course, you know, the National Symphony Orchestra, 85 pieces of incredible talent sitting on the stage, breathing life into this film, or into these films, these animated movies, these montages, these scenes, in a way that you can only do with live musicians. You know, under this wonderful setting at Wolf Trap, we open with a wonderful medley of sorts to really get people excited about the adventurism, the escapism, all these fantastic things that we enjoy so much in these films. So there's a wonderful medley of music to include things from, you know, Sinbad and Legend of the Seven Seas and Over the Hedge and Peabody and Sherman, How to Train Your Dragon. You know, we open with the original logo with some of the newly composed music by John Powell and Harry Gregson Williams. So it's a wonderful medley, and, you know, right away we introduce to people this power, this strength, this adventure.
What's sort of the musical selection for the intermission?
I don't know if we'll have anything playing intermission, as the orchestra is breaking at that time. But, you know, leading into it, we end with some really big music going into intermission from The Rise of the Guardians. You know, some incredible music written by Alexandre Desplat. And we come out of intermission with kind of a classic entr'acte, which is, you know, we almost kind of stole something from the playbook of David Lean and the Lawrence of Arabia and some of that amazing music by Maurice Jarre, you know, where there's this classic sense of overture, this classic sense of entr'acte. So we play a little bit with that as well.
Man, you're scratching me right where I itch, man. That Maurice Jarre stuff is just beautiful.
It sure is.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a favorite composer, by the way, like of the classic composers?
Oh, geez, that's a loaded question.
How about the film composers then? Let's narrow it down to some of those guys.
Well, I think you're right to connect them. I mean, they certainly are very, very well connected. I wouldn't even call them cousins. I think that they're very close brothers. And, you know, I mean, you look at some of the great composers that came from Germany and Austria, you know, emigres from the war in World War II, and came to America and set up shop, so to speak. We have this wonderful connection from, you know, whether or not it's Erich Wolfgang Korngold or it's Bernard Herrmann's connection or it's any of the other Germans that kind of came over.
Miklos
Laszlo.
And then
they passed that on. You know, I'm a huge fan of Bernard Herrmann. I love what Jerry Goldsmith has done for the business. I think Jerry Goldsmith has taught us what is possible. But certainly, you know, it's hard to ignore Wagner and Shostakovich, Prokofiev, you know, all these, these composers that certainly helped us to understand what film music would become in the future.
You mentioned Bernard Herrmann and Jerry Goldsmith. What's your favorite movie score of each of those? That's a hard question because there's so many good ones.
It's a fun question.
For me, it's probably Vertigo for Herrmann and Chinatown for Goldsmith. But what about you?
Oh, Chinatown's incredible. I mean, geez, you wrote that in, what, I think 11 days?
Unbelievable.
Incredible. For me, Herrmann, one of my favorite score, I think, is Journey to the Center of the Earth. I really, really love the sounds that he created with otherwise traditional instruments, but came up with these very non-traditional sounds. In the case of, you know, some of the Serpents, you know, not so traditional instruments, but certainly one of my favorite scores. For Jerry, that's really a difficult one for me to answer. You know, I was lucky enough to study with him for nearly 2 years before he passed away and learned a great deal from him. And I think that what we've all learned from him, as I mentioned previously, is really what is possible. And that's why it's so difficult for me to pick a score of his, because so many of them were groundbreaking, and certainly Chinatown is one of them. I adore the score from Islands in the Stream, you know, written for that wonderful film of the same Hemingway novel, you know, starring George C. Scott, which, of course, who was also in Patton, another score by Jerry Goldsmith. Some of the most evocative melodies I think Jerry's ever written.
Did I read? I was doing some research on you, sir. Didn't you conduct a similar live thing to? Was it The Godfather? Maybe you did a Godfather.
Yeah, okay. I have worked on The Godfather. We've done a wonderful Star Trek 50th anniversary show, and you know, Gladiator, It's a Wonderful Life, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and we're starting up the Harry Potter franchise. But I think that this genre, this industry, is blossoming in a way that I'm so happy to see, you know, around the world, and there's so much of this amazing material that's been contributed to these DreamWorks animated movies over the years. That what a blessing it is to celebrate these composers in this way.
Yeah, you said it. You're loving that it's sort of a blossoming industry. Are these live performances? Why do you think it's sort of exploding? It's a sort of a new way it keeps these movies alive in a way that I don't think might not happen otherwise. I love it, and it's bringing these live orchestras a whole new audience as well.
You're right, and the last point you mentioned, you know, these new audiences is a really big factor in why I think this is blossoming and why I think it will continue to blossom. However, for me, I like to think that the primary reason why this is doing so well in very different countries, you know, from, you know, you look at the differences between Chile and France, and you see similar things happening with this genre, and, you know, it couldn't be two different countries. But I think the real reason for this is that, look, this is great art. It's great music. They're great films, great animated films, great live-action films, whatever they happen to be. I think the idea of marrying these two, which have been married together so well for so many decades, but finally in a live setting, adds another element of immersion and experience for people. And I think that it does help to serve as a bridge between the more perhaps concert-driven classical audiences and some of the more popular audiences that we see around the world today.
Yeah, that and just country to country, music is universal, so it's very effective for that as well. Take me through. Let's see, have we not mentioned any of them? What selection of Shrek are you going to have? That's the big favorite from a lot of people that'll be going out.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. I love Shrek. Well, we have a wonderful Shrek suite that celebrates just various different you know, visuals from Shrek over the course of these wonderful movies that have been made and acted and written music for. I mean, there's so many amazing things that have come from that particular franchise. Some of the musical representations, and there are so many to choose from. I mean, Harry Gregson-Williams has done an incredible job over the years writing music for it. Some things, you know, I won't give away everything, but we'll perform some of the Prince Charming music, and I think some of the music from Ride the Dragon, you know, one of my favorite cues from the franchise. And there's a lot of really fun things. And with respect to Shrek, though, I think that Harry has done an amazing job in helping us to fall in love with these characters through his very charming music.
Definitely. Speaking of Ride the Dragon, you have to have a little Toothless in there, right? How to Train Your Dragon. What music from that is going to come out?
Absolutely. You know, we've got a number of different cues. One of my favorites, actually, from the first How to Train Your Dragon by John Powell is this wonderful moment with Toothless learning how to trust for the first time a human being, and what it is to earn the trust of a dragon. And as they, you know, go on their very first flying adventure, you know, we play this scene with the music. And I think John Powell's music to both of these films, you know, the first and the second Dragon, for me at least, is some of the more powerful music written in the last little while in film. I mean, you know, nominated for Academy Award in the first one, and certainly deserving. I think John is an incredible writer and did a great job with that franchise.
Yeah, for sure. What selections do you have from Kung Fu Panda?
Ooh, we have a number of them. I will hint at one of them.
Okay.
If you recall that wonderful scene where Po is finally learning the art of Kung Fu, training Po, which is a really wonderful scene that, you know, both Hans Zimmer and John Powell contributed to musically. There's a lot of light humor in it. There's adventure in it. And a lot of really great, you know, ethnic instruments that we'll have in the percussion section and, you know, elsewhere in the orchestra to help perform that music.
Awesome. One more specific one, and then we'll wrap it up. Let's say families, parents have been watching Madagascar with their kids. What musical little moment might they remember when they come and see and hear it live? They'll say, oh, I remember that scene.
Oh, geez. Well, it's hard not to remember the best friends scene that Hans wrote for Madagascar. I mean, this theme became one of the focal points of so many areas and characters and situations throughout not just the first film, but several others. I think that some of the most recognizable music, you know, may come from some of the wonderful dancing at the zoo and you know, again, more dancing in the jungle. And I think there's a lot of really amazing music that people will recognize from that franchise.
It just sounds like a lot of fun, and it's something that, you know, families can come to, and, you know, even those of us with the young at heart could go on a date. I mean, it could be whatever. It's just a fun night out at Wolf Trap. It's a great location. Before we go, tell me a little bit about you personally. How did you get into this awesome industry?
It's a long-winded story, which I wouldn't presume to bore you with, but, you know, I have been a musician since I was a young child and have loved the art of film music since I was a young child. I think that this art form is one of the most important in music history. You know, it's up there with opera and, you know, the ballet and what chamber music has done for us over the years. And there's certainly an entertainment value to this music, but there's also a very serious value. And it's so exciting to see this in person. And I, you know, with that passion and admiration for this art, began Cine Concerts, you know, our company a number of years ago to try and preserve and present these types of things, you know, whether or not they were full movies or they were franchise celebrations such as the DreamWorks Animation and Concert. And it's a great joy to be able to share this music, and in some cases by some of my friends and colleagues that have written this music, in other cases by heroes that are no longer with us, but people that we've all grown up admiring in some way or another, whether or not we knew it even. Some people admire this music and don't even know anything about the composers. They just know it because they've been to the movie theaters, and they can whistle these tunes, and much in the way that we used to whistle and sing tunes when we left the, you know, opera in the 18th century and even in the 19th century. So for me, it's a great joy to be able to share this and preserve these things, and I hope that in some small, humble way, we're doing this in a high quality way.
Awesome. Well, definitely keep up the good work. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Is there one moment out there? I mean, it seems like you're totally passionate about the history of this, which I love. Is there a moment when you're out there conducting that sort of just gives you chills and you kind of step back and pinch yourself and say, "Whoa, I'm conducting this score right now"?
Well, I think the way that, for me at least, to answer that is the moment I give a downbeat with the orchestra is a spine-chilling moment for me personally, because then all of a sudden you're collaborating with these amazing musicians on stage, and that changes from orchestra to orchestra. So it's always it's reinvigorating, and it's a responsibility though too, and one which I hope I'm doing positively representable way. You know, I hope that what we are giving to the audiences is something that they will cherish for longer than just that evening. And ultimately, we have this because of what the composers and directors and cinematographers have given us through their genius. But certainly, anytime I give a downbeat, it's a reminder just how delicate and special this relationship we have, all of us, with music, you know, whether or not it's as musicians or as fans of music or, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Awesome. Justin, thanks so much for taking the time. We're looking forward to see you out at Wolf Trap on Thursday, June 30th. Everybody, come out and see it, and keep up the good work. I would love to see these live orchestra accompaniments to movies for, you know, for decades, if not centuries to come, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope so, and thank you so much for having me, and I think you hit it right on the nose. You know, seeing these, that's where it is. You really have to see these to believe it. You know, it's very much a be-there-in-person experience, so I hope that we continue this, and thanks very much.